Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center. Welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about the highest point. We're going to be taking a look at some scriptures today and taking communion over them, asking for God to give us some insight into some of these scriptures that we're going to see. We're going to see some themes here and some scriptures talking about the highest point, about how when Jesus was tempted, the devil brings him up to the highest point of the temple and says, throw yourself down. And I think what we see there is this test of, are we going to test God? Are we going to move into presumption rather than faith? Because we see that another test of God happens where people go to the highest point. We're also going to see in the book of Proverbs that both wisdom and folly, they cry out from the highest points in the city. Some interesting connections with the highest point in some scriptures here today. We're going to be taking a look at these and asking God to give us some insight into what this means for us, how to practically apply these principles into our life. But we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communions is we start with about a two-minute-long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to get still and to examine ourselves and do the other half of prayer before our time of communion for today. Let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us and to make your face shine upon us. Let us find grace and favor in your eyes. Ask you to expand our borders and our territory. Expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. Ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. Ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders, keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So now we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is where we talk about our four fundamentals. Remember, you got to put the fun in the fundamentals. You got to bring some life and some energy and some enthusiasm into these fundamentals each day. You got to make each day fun. But our four fundamentals, getting positioned in light, magnifying the light, staying tuned in for God's leading and direction today, and then taking action, doing the things that you know to do and doing them together with God today. Spend your day with him. So step number one, getting positioned in the light. This is the on-off switch. We're going to turn the lights on. God's released us from darkness, transferred us into the light. That transfer, it happens through the forgiveness of sins. And we got to receive that forgiveness from God. It's got to flow through us in the middle. We got to forgive ourselves. Then we got to walk in that same grace and forgiveness with other people. And the motivation behind all that forgiveness from God was love. Love was the motivation behind it all. Actually, I think we're going to see something today that in these tests at the highest point, there's this temptation to get into presumption rather than faith. And one of the ways that that can happen is, I think, as we step out of love. Faith works through love. What's the motivation behind what you're doing today? What's the motivation behind it? Is it love? Faith works through love. The Apostle Paul says you could give everything you have. You could surrender your body to the flames. You could do all these amazing steps of faith. But if you don't have love, then it profits you nothing. So what's the motivation? Staying in love, because God is love. God is love. God is light. To stay positioned in the light is to stay positioned in love. And then we can stay positioned in praise and gratitude today. I think one of the biggest keys to keeping the lights on all day today, staying positioned in praise and gratitude. Everything we receive from God, we receive it by faith. And one of the greatest expressions of faith is praise and gratitude. Now, what I would tell you is it's not worth it to step out of this. It's not worth it to step out of forgiveness, to hold a grudge against somebody, to get bitter at somebody. It's not worth it to step out of love or to step into complaining mode. It's not worth it to get positioned out of the light, because what are you missing out on? There's a huge opportunity you're missing out on when we refuse to stay positioned here. We're missing out on everything God has. He's given us everything he has in Christ. He's transferred us into this kingdom, where by faith we have access to his spirit, his power, his presence, his love, his peace, his joy. Think about his peace and joy, not your peace. His peace and joy can be flowing through you today. His grace and beauty and gentleness and greatness can be flowing through you. His mind and his wisdom, the answers to the problems you're facing, can be found in the light. His health and energy can be flowing through you. His time, his finances, everything he has. So it's not worth it to step out of the light. It's where we got to start to magnify the light, our second fundamental. We got to get into the light. Then we got to magnify that light. To magnify is to make it bigger or greater. Bigger or greater. We're going to give God a bigger place to work. As we expand the capacity to be able to receive more of everything that he has and to get it flowing through us. Now, we're all magnifying something every day based on what we're focused on, what we're thinking about, what we're meditating on, what we're talking about consistently. We're all meditating on something all day. We're all magnifying something every day. It's either light or it's darkness. And we begin to magnify the light. It's like it expands that capacity. It gets God's promises rooted and grounded and established in your heart so that you're fixed and consistent even when the problems and issues come your way. So how do we do that? We can magnify God's word, magnify his promises, have his promises rolling over in our minds, having coming into our eyes, into our ears, thinking about them, giving his word a higher priority and place to work in our life. We can magnify God's unfailing love. Just be talking about and thinking about how much he loves you and how his love never fails. We can be thinking about and magnifying his faithfulness, that he's always on time, that he always fulfills his promises. We can magnify his mighty works, that nothing's impossible for him. All that he's already done in our lives, all that he's already done for us in Christ. We can magnify our righteousness that's in Christ. That we have peace with God. We have his blessing and his favor, and he wants to help us. We have this new covenant with him. We can magnify all the good things that he put within us. I believe that it's Titus. It says that our faith grows and becomes effective when we acknowledge every good thing that's within us. We can magnify whatever's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and good report. We can magnify the things that are going well. Now, this is not denying that there's issues and problems. Jesus said we're going to have issues and problems in life, but to be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. This is bringing them into the light, choosing not to magnify the issues and magnify God as bigger than whatever problems you're facing. It's a choice, but he does give us a choice. We could choose to magnify and just meditate and stay stuck on in our mind all the ways people have wronged us, the things that they should have, could have, or would have done. We can keep rolling over the issues and the problems. We can keep dwelling on the past or worrying about the future. We can be trying to figure it all out in our minds. And based on where you're positioned and what you're magnifying, you're going to experience some symptoms. It's important that we get good at recognizing those symptoms, because when we're positioned in darkness, when we're magnifying darkness, everything feels heavy and oppressive, like all the pressure's on you to figure it out and to make it happen in your own strength. Might feel hopeless for your situation, like you're trapped or you're stuck and there's no way out. Your energy levels begin to diminish. I think of it like a black hole. It's just sucking the energy out of you. Say, why am I so tired all of a sudden? Or if this is a habit where we're continually positioned in this all the time, you might say, why am I so tired all the time? One of the greatest keys to energy, I worked in the gym for a long time. People ask, how do I get my energy better? One of the greatest keys to energy, get positioned in the light every day and stay there. You have more energy than you've ever experienced before. Then in the darkness, there's also the fear and the stress and the worry, the dread of the future, confusion about what to do or which way to go. Maybe you get stuck in vicious cycles or bad patterns that you can't seem to break free of. But when you're in the light, you rest in your soul. You rest in your soul. Everything feels free and easy and effortless, and your energy levels begin to rise up. That faith and courage on the inside of you begin to rise up. Then there's that peace that surpasses all understanding. The joy of the Lord that is your strength. You've got hope in any and every situation. You get these aha moments where just you know exactly what to do, and you know that you know that you know that this is the right path. And then one we haven't talked about lately, when you begin to focus on the light, you magnify the light, bad habits, bad patterns, things you've been stuck in for a long time just effortlessly just break off of you. They just fall off you without even really trying. All just by focusing on the light, just changing our focus. Now, it's important that we can recognize these symptoms and turn the tables quickly. Because the good news is it literally takes 1 second to turn it back around. Just a very simple prayer. Father, forgive me. What do we say? One of the keys to stay in position of light is forgiveness. Father, forgive me for meditating on that, for magnifying it, for not staying focused on you. And then start praising him and thanking him and just talking about his promises and his love and his faithfulness and his goodness. You do that, you change your focus like that. And it just begins to flow in your life. You experience that shift happening immediately on the inside. Those are your indicators letting you know. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day. As you stay positioned in the light, something like tuning a radio receiver, and all of a sudden you begin to hear and to discern God's leading and direction for your life so much more clearly. One of the things I think it does for you as well is when you're in the light, you're typically more present. And when we're more present, we're typically better listeners. Think about in most conversations that we have, our minds are wandering off. We're thinking about what we're going to say next. We're thinking about our own issues. When we're positioned in the light, we're more present and we become better listeners. So something I like to do every day is before bed, ask God this question. God, what was it you're trying to show me today? Is there anything I missed? Anything you're trying to get across to me today that you really want me to know? If you ask those questions, he will always show you every single time. He's so faithful in it. Just get still and you listen. Whatever comes to mind, just begin to write it down. I think one of the most important things you can do on this journey with God is recording your journey, just recording what you're hearing, recording what he's teaching you, recording the steps of faith that you take. And whenever you don't know what to do, you don't know which direction to go, you don't magnify that problem. You just simply give it to him and you ask for his help. And then you wait until you know. He will show you every single time. Now, that step that he's going to ask you to do might take some faith, but he will show you every single time. Wait until you know. And then once you know, you got to put into practice the fourth fundamental. Do what you know to do. Take action. Do those things that you know to do. Often we get these things that we know to do and they're piling up on the inside. And it blocks the ability for God to flow through us the way that he really wants to. They start stacking up and it slows down the flow of what God's trying to do because we're not taking action quickly enough. Wait till you know what to do. But once you know, then you got to take action. Follow your conscience. Maybe there's some things you feel guilty about or some things in your conscience that keep popping up. Those are indicators from him of things to take action on. Things you've been procrastinating on where you say, you know what? I know I need to do that. Or maybe there's just a leading or excitement or word that you have from him that you know to take action on today. And then execute those things together with God. Do it willingly and cheerfully with confidence in him because we're trusting he's right there with us. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's right there with you, helping you execute these things. And he's going to help you to do them in his strength, not your own. We learn how to rest in our soul. All of a sudden, he can go to work. As you begin to do this, all that God has for you begins to flow through you. It works from the inside out. And it does something like creating a magnet, where it begins to pull more and more of the things of God into your life. It's like it magnetizes you, and it begins to pull more and more of the things of God into your life. So we're going to be taking a look today, this concept of the highest point. To be honest, full disclosure, I don't exactly know where God's going with this just yet. But my daughter and I, we've been reading through the Bible together. We started in the beginning and we're reading through together. We're in the book of Numbers. And we read this passage of scripture today. And it kind of jumped off the page at me because there's some things in here that I think are important. Now, the backstory of this, the context of this, God has told the people to send spies into the promised land. You probably heard the story. They go check out the land. They come back with a report 40 days later. They send 12 spies. They come back with a report 40 days later. And two of the guys, Joshua and Caleb, say, it's an amazing land and God's with us. Let's go take this land. But the 10 other guys spread an evil report. It says a bad or an evil report. They say there's giants in the land. That land devours people. We're going to die if we go to try to take this land. They say, let's do this. They start all, and that report spreads to all the people. And they're sitting in their tents, standing in their tents, just wailing and crying. And they come to the conclusion, we're just going to pick a leader. We're going to go back to Egypt. And God's just had enough of it. He's like, when are these people going to believe in me? They've seen all that I did bringing them out of Egypt. And they still won't believe in me. They still won't trust in me. And God gets angry. God does not like complaining. You read through the book of Numbers here. God does not like complaining. My daughter and I have been looking at that. God does not like complaining. So I say it pulls you out of the light. So then God tells them, none of you people who moaned and groaned and complained, none of you are going to get to go to the promised land. Complaining is not allowed over there. None of you people that moaned and groaned and complained are going to get to go. You're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and I'm going to wait for your children. And when your children are old enough, I'm going to take them in. And so then the people feel bad about it. And it says this, nevertheless, in their presumption, the people decided, hey, we're going to go up. We're going to try to take the land on our own now. We're sorry, God. We missed it. We're going to go try to take the land on our own. Nevertheless, in their presumption, not their faith, faith and presumption kind of go on the other side. I like to think of presumption. It's often this time where we're trying to test God to see if he'll really help us or not. In their presumption, they went up toward the highest point. And presumption, you could also think of jumping to conclusions before you know the facts. That's why we say you wait until you know, and then you take action, then you go. Presumption is jumping to conclusions, jumping to ahead of things before you know. In their presumption, they went up toward the highest point in the hill country. So where'd they go? In their presumption took them to the highest point in the hill country. Though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's covenant moved from the camp. So these people knew when God sets out, his cloud moves and the people move with the cloud. Well, they set out without the cloud. In their presumption, they had no word from God to move. They had no word from God that he was going to be with them. In fact, he told them he wasn't going to be. And Moses told them, you better stop because God's not going to be with you. But they go to the highest point of the city anyway. They're rebellious. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and they attacked them and they beat them down all the way to Hormah. So it didn't go so good with them when they got into presumption. Now, immediately when I read this today, I was reminded, I have a section in my book, 7 Days with Jesus, where we talk about the temptations that Jesus goes through. One of those temptations we're going to read here in just a second is about him going up to the highest point of the temple. And we talked about that test is really about faith versus presumption. Faith versus presumption, where Jesus didn't have to test the promises of God to know that they're true. He didn't have to throw himself down to believe that God would come to his rescue just to test it out to see if it was true. He could rest in the promises. He could rest in the promises. And that faith, being in faith versus presumption, the other filter that you can use for faith versus presumption is love. Faith works through love. Often we'll try to take some step of faith to get God to do something rather than resting and trusting in his unfailing love. Or we're taking the step to try to get God to do something rather than just loving people. These are important little distinctions that are the difference between faith and presumption. Sometimes it can be hard to tell the difference, but you'll have those indicators on the inside that let you know. So this is Matthew 4. Verses 5 through 7 says, then the devil, this is the temptation of Jesus, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. So notice, where does he go? The devil takes him where? To the highest point. Where did the devil take the other people in presumption? Took him to the highest point. It's a lack of humility to take yourself to the highest point. Remember, God tells us, he who humbles himself will be exalted. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. That's the distinction. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said this, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Why don't you test this out? Test God and see what he does. For it's written, he'll command his angels concerning you, and they'll lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it's written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now notice, Satan's quoting Psalms 91 here. But Jesus didn't have to test the promises. There's a temptation. I know when I first got started on my journey with God, I actually failed this temptation. I was throwing myself down financially, giving away money, not out of love, not out of a prompting from God of something I knew he commanded me to do or said that I should be doing. I was not giving it out of love either. I was purely giving it to see what God would do, if he would bless me because of that, because of my giving. But that was presumption and not faith. I was testing God in those areas rather than resting in his promises. That I could wait for his leading of where to give and how to be generous and see opportunities to be a blessing motivated by love and trusting that if I just do those things, God's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me if I just do those things. He's going to make everything right if I just do those things. But I don't have to step out of this faith and try to force it to happen on my own. That's exalting ourselves at times. Now, as I was thinking about this concept of the highest point. And I apologize a little bit today because I'm thinking out loud as we're going. I knew God was prompting this direction, but I wasn't sure quite where he was going when we got started. So some other interesting verses about the highest point. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, notice where she go, the highest point, where the paths meet. She takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city. Now, how does that wisdom get exalted up to that place? The Bible tells us that true wisdom is humble and gentle and peace-loving and submissive, found in James chapter 3. The way we get true wisdom, we humble ourselves and God raises us up. And then when we're up there, we can call out. Wisdom can call out from the highest point where the paths meet. Together, they take their stand. But then there's an interesting passage. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9 has been a passage that I've studied a lot over the years because it has this interesting duality where it has a very similar passage you're going to see here where wisdom calls out from the highest point of the city, but then folly also calls out from the highest point of the city. And there's very subtle distinctions between the two. They look kind of similar on the surface, but there's some very subtle distinctions. So it says this in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. Wisdom calls out from the highest point of the city. She calls out from the highest point again. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come eat my food and drink the wine that I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Then later in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 14 through 18, says that the woman Folly, she sits at the door of her house, on a seat, where? At the highest point of the city. So, notice, at the highest point of the city, in Proverbs 8, wisdom takes her stand. Proverbs chapter 9, folly sits at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. And folly says this, let all who are simple come to my house. Notice, very similar language. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the deep, are deep in the realm of the dead. So we're going to be asking for some help today, for God to give us some more insight into these scriptures. I don't believe I have the full revelation of it just yet, but I know God's leading us in this direction to give us the full insight of this. Part of this, I know, is the difference between faith and presumption and not testing God. This is where we got to make sure we're staying in praise and gratitude. We're waiting for his leading and direction, and we're motivated by love. Love is our motivation for the actions that we take. Love for God and love for people is the motivation. And we can do that trusting in him that he's going to take care of us. We don't have to step out and try to force things to happen on our own. We're going to take communion over this. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for you. Thankful that you sent your one and only Son to die for us. And if you would do that, how would you not freely give us all things? Father, we're asking for your help today. There's something to this concept of the highest point that you're trying to teach us today. I'm asking for wisdom and insight and revelation into what it is that you're trying to show us, and help us to understand this distinction between faith, true faith, and presumption. Between true faith and presumption. Help us to understand that difference, because it's often a very fine line. Father, for all those that are watching or listening, any times that they've been trying to walk by faith, been trying to honor you with their lives, maybe they've been in presumption instead, I'm asking that you would highlight that for them, to show them and show us how to make the corrections and adjustments. All motivated by your love. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he said, take it. Receive it, that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight. You don't have to force it to happen. He wants to help. We can approach him with freedom and confidence and find help in our time of need. The cup of God's wrath was poured full strength onto the body of Jesus so that we could have the cup of his blessing. Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. You have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. Have this new covenant with God. And I believe you begin to walk by faith, motivated by love. What happens? You start to know him better. His heart and his kindness and his goodness. Just growing in your relationship with him. Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about walking it out today. We've been talking about making today a masterpiece. You're going to stay positioned in the light. Keep magnifying that light and paying attention to the symptoms. If you ever get off track, you turn it back around quickly. You stay tuned in for his leading and direction today. Put into practice and take action on the things that you know to do and doing them together with God. Keep doing that day by day. He's going to keep leading you to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the Abundant Life Training Center.com.